This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In today's Loving Drag, I just want to preface by saying you may not like me after this episode, but that's fine, innit? Because some of us don't like celery, but celery is really good for you. So it is what it is, innit? But my question for you is, are you making excuses? Are you a, but that's just how I am type of girly? Are you a, but I really like him type of girly? If you've answered yes to either of these, step forward, because this drag is specifically for you. Which one is, that's just how I am? What does that mean? Because we don't like it when men say that. We be like, oh, you know, when men be like, that's just how I am, it just means that they refuse to change. Correct. Correct. When men say that's just how I am, it's because they're creating excuses to not interrogate their behavior. Correct. So we're on the same page. Stay with me. When women be saying, that's just how I am, don't you think that's the same thing as when men say, that's just how I am? I.e., when you be calling women out on behaviours that are keeping them trapped in a particular pattern of outcomes, and they're like, yeah, but that's just how I am. Boo! Boo! You got to leave that's just how I am behind now, girl. Because actually, that might not be just how you are. It might be just how you're conditioned. Have you ever considered that? Right then. So when you're saying that's just how I am, complete the sentence. That's just how I am conditioned. Because when you say that's just how I am conditioned, you can identify the part where you have control to change something. That's just how I am is defeatist. You are accepting that things cannot change because that's just how you are. That's just how I am applies to when someone asks you why you have eyebrows. You can say, that's just how I am, because humans just have eyebrows. I cannot give you a reason as to why I have eyebrows. I cannot control having eyebrows. I might shave them. I might laser them off. But the hair is probably still going to grow back even if it's sparse, because that's just how I am. I'm a human. That's very different to you being a woman who gives men too much attention, pays men's bills, and lets men walk all over you, and then turning around and say, that's just how I am. No, that's not just how you are. That's just how you are conditioned. Complete the sentence. Because if you say, that's just how I am, in response to you being a pushover who lets men use you and you be paying men's way, you've accepted defeat for your life. You've chosen that to be the story of your life. Is that what you want for yourself? So we need to let this, that's just how I am phrase, go to the bin, unless you're using it for strategic, intentional, or artistic purposes. So what are the strategic, intentional, or artistic purposes you can use that's just how I am in? Well, let me tell you, as somebody who uses that's just how I am like parsley to garnish the meal when interacting with men, here's how I use that's just how I am. when I come across men and I'm laying the groundwork, especially if it's men who I would consider my type, and I'm basically finding subliminal language to let them know that I like men who spend money, I like men who pay bills, I like men who take me shopping, etc. I'd be like, oh man, I am so spoiled. I am so used to men taking care of me. I've always dated providers. I don't know, that's just how I am. I don't know, I've always been drawn to men who just know how to be a gentleman. I always find myself being enticed by men who want to make my life easier. I've always been a daddy's girl. I don't know, that's just how I am. I don't know why, but I always attract men who want to take care of me and pay all my bills. This has started since I was like 19 or 20 years old. It's just happened to be that every boyfriend I've had has been so generous, so diligent, so focused on making me happy. And I can't lie, I'm addicted to it. I don't know. That's just how I am. Do you see how "that's just how I am" can be used to empower you? And it can be used to set a scene, lay a foundation, create a groundwork for the treatment you expect without you having to be too direct about it. Because that's genuinely how I go about my interactions with men. And remember that when I'm doing "that's just how I am" and I'm listing scenarios like I just gave you examples of, I'm not having these conversations with broke men. I just want to make that clear. I try to avoid broke men at all costs. And it's not from a place of hating poor people or being classist. I know someone's going to try and say that. No, it's about trying to keep myself out of scenarios that are going to exhaust me. I personally find broke men exhausting in regards to romantic interactions with them. Outside of romantic dealings with them, I do think that broke men deserve friendship and community. I've always said that. Like, I think it's possible to be friends with broke men at a reasonable distance, you know, because I strongly believe that men should be useful in your life, whether it's friendship or dating. I feel very glad to say that the men who I'm closest to, they play very significant roles in my life. And it's not because I'm telling them to, or because I have had some Jedi mind trick convince them into doing so. It's just because the traits that I really adore about them are integral to their personality. So it means that I can really benefit heavily from my friendship with those men. And sometimes those men and the ways that they treat me, it doesn't necessarily involve money. Sometimes it does. But most times, you know, what I'm getting at here with my friendships with men is more like, I have really, really noble men in my life, the ones that I'm close to anyway, really noble. And because of that, I don't feel like I have to make excuses for them or feel like I have to overcompensate for their behavior. They make it so easy to just have them in my life. They make it so easy to love them back. So I don't feel like I have to worry or explain my standards to them. If anything, they are so supportive, and they're the ones who'd be like, you know, if I tell any of my guy friends about a guy I'm talking to, they're the ones that'll be like, "Has he done XYZ for you?" Now, the separate conversation of broke men and being in friendship or community with them, again, like, yeah, I can be friends with broke men. When I say at a distance, what I mean by that is, you know, we can be acquaintance. Let us be the way we are. You know, acquaintance. Because, again, I don't necessarily believe in writing people off because of their circumstance. What I believe in is staying away from situations that are going to drain you. Those are two very different concepts. I think what people find really confusing is when women say they don't date broke men and they just immediately conflate that with classism and hating poor people. It's about understanding that broke men come with big problems, and men usually exert their problems onto women. So if a man's got financial issues, he will bring that distress your way. And if you're a woman who is empath or super Mother Teresa leaning or very savior complex ridden, that man's about to become your problem. So to avoid that, you just got to stay away from it entirely. And you have to detach yourself from the "that's just how I am" language. Because if you're that woman who's like, "Oh, I'm just really caring and I just really want to love people." This is the one I hear all the time. "I have so much love to give." Okay, you have so much love to give. Sorry, Madam Mother Teresa. You have so much love to give. Because you're the first person that's ever had love to give, innit? So because of that, every and any man you meet, you just give everything to him. You don't have any self-control. You don't have any boundaries because you have so much love to give. Queen of the energetic spectrum. "I have so much love to give." God. Talking about, "I have so much love to give. That's just how I am." Well, that's just how you keep getting taken advantage of, babe. Can you see how the math is mathing itself? 1 + 1 = 2. I have so much love to give, plus "that's just how I am" equals I'm a mumu. Do you know what mumu means? Let me tell you what mumu means. In Nigeria, where I'm from, okay, we have a slang. Mumu means stupid fool. It means idiot. Men see you as mumu when you're doing that. "I have so much love to give. That's just how I am." How many times do you hear men being like, "Oh, I just have so much money to give. That's just how I am"? How many times will you hear a man say that? Because me, I would like to see it. Women be walking around, "And that's just how I am. I'm just a really loving person. That's how I keep ending up in these situations." No. It's not because you're a really loving person, it's because you're a mumu. And you're looking for validation in every man you meet. You're hoping that if you overextend yourself and you overgive to men, they're going to feel compelled to give back to you because of guilt. No, that's not how men are. You cannot try and appeal to a man's morality by being over nice to him and hoping that he's going to reciprocate that. Because that just creates more mumu. You're just more of a mumu to him. And he'll definitely cheat. Just so you know. So these excuses women be making is because they don't want to change. And that's why I find it really exhausting. The women who be finding their way into my comment section being like, "Oh, but isn't this so exhausting? Oh, this sounds so exhausting to have boundaries and standards. Oh, I don't want to play games. I believe in real love and just being honest and truthful. This all sounds so tiring and exhausting." Whole time, they're the ones who are exhausted and tired all the time because they're mumu. You're telling men your full life story. You're telling men where you live. You don't know how to lie. You don't know how to keep information to yourself. You think oversharing with men is the same thing as bonding. You're giving men access to the back door. "Here's the fire exit on this side. In case of emergency, here's the button to press to trigger me. And in the back aisle behind me, here's my mom's number so that if you want to trigger me some more, that's my mom's number. And also in the furthest aisle down ahead of you, here's all the trauma my dad gave me. So if you ever want to use the line, that's why your dad left. That's the line to use." That's what you lot be doing and calling it, "I'm a truthful person and I'm honest." Well, how has that worked out for you? How has that worked out for you? Please do share. Would love to know. Because the women who be like, "Oh, this sounds exhausting." Not a single standard to show for their life. Not a single boundary to show for their life. Men see them as stupid mumu fool. Men use them. Men jump on their head to climb to get access to the other women that they actually want. Men be using them for their car, petrol, their house, their fridge, their food. Their free childcare, because these women be playing stepmom to men who don't even like them. You're looking after another man's kids because you're desperate to be seen as irreplaceable. Girl, bye. Talking about, "This sounds exhausting." Trying to make yourself seem like you're better than women who actually have boundaries and standards. "This sounds exhausting. How about we all just be truthful?" Yeah, because men are leading with truth, aren't they? Imagine playing a game, yeah, and showing all your cards because you think that's going to make you a good person. But it gets worse. Imagine playing a game and trying to act self-righteous by telling everyone that you don't play games. Do you know that by choosing to date men, you're opting into playing a game? Did you read the small print? Did you read the terms and conditions before you accepted all cookies? Because to me, these women who'd be like, oh, that sounds exhausting. What about being truthful? They're the type who are so desperate for a man that they do the equivalent of, you know, when you visit a website and it's the kind of website that's going to give your computer a bug. Or the kind of website where you're about to be getting really annoying ads and your data sold, right? So you don't even read the information. You just rush to click accept all cookies. You rush to enter your email address. You rush to give all the information the website asks for just so you can have a man. Those are the women who be like, oh, this sounds exhausting. Of course it's exhausting to have self-esteem and standards because you've never done it before. We know. Don't worry. Don't need to tell us. Talking about that's just how I am. Girl, one thing we need to leave behind is trying to act self-righteous and trying to act like you're better than women who've actually realized what the world is like and are employing strategy and tact to better their lives and to get more beneficial outcomes from laying with men. Because I guarantee you, yeah, the women who be making excuses talking about that's just how I am, they make excuses for men too. They be like, oh, but that's just how he is. That's just how he is. And you're going to take that. So because that's just how he is, you're not going to expect more from him. You know, when you meet men, right, they deliberately curate a version of themselves to set a foundation so that you know what to expect from them and what not to expect from them. So men benefit from you believing that's just how he is. That's why you need to be asking men for shit from the onset. Because a man is never going to be scared to ask you for pussy. Even though he's broke, not nice to you, has bad personal hygiene, no prospects, no job, just desperation for pussy. And you give him that access because you're a free spirit. Yeah, we can tell you're a free spirit. Emphasis on free, indeed. Because again, this is not about shaming women who view sex in a way that is more frivolous. What I'm saying is, when men don't have to work for something, they don't value it. So if you insist that, oh, I'm just a free spirit, I have so much love to give, and you're giving men free sexual access, and by free sexual access, I mean you're giving men intimacy that they haven't earned. They don't see you as a free spirit. They think you're stupid and they think you're weak. And you know what men do when they detect weakness? They take advantage. Do you know that? Have you heard? When men detect weakness, they take advantage. You keep on expecting men to love like women. If you want a man who's going to love like a woman, you need to open up your dating dating spectrum to not just dating men. You might need to date women, because these women who be like, yeah, that's just how I am, I've got so much love to give, so therefore I need a man who's going to be just as loving as I am. I need a man who's going to be just as sensitive and delicate as I am. I need a man who's going to be just so poetic and so emotional like me. Girl, you're describing a woman. Do you know that? Because what you're describing is yourself. You're looking for yourself in a man. So just go and date women. I hope that helps. Because what the hell? What the fuck? Talking about some, yeah. He needs to be just like me. Okay. If that's how you think, I can't help you in it. I don't know. Because that's a scary lane to go down. Because, you know, men know how to mirror people. You know that, right? Men know that the quickest and easiest way to get pussy is to just pretend to be like you. If he knows that you're looking for a man who's just like you, he's going to pretend to like the music you like if he has to. He's going to pretend to have the same inside jokes with you. Mm-hmm. It's not hard to do all of that, by the way. He's going to pretend that you and him have the same mannerisms so that you'll feel more inclined to sleep with him because he's your soulmate. Talking about, that's just how I am. Complete the sentence. That's just how I am conditioned. There. Now you've identified it and called it what it is. Now that we can accept that this is just how you're conditioned, what can we do to distance you from that conditioning? Because yes, you are conditioned to be a mumu. You are conditioned to be a stupid, weak fool. And by stupid, you are conditioned to be a woman who gives into your impulses and urges without first assessing them. You are conditioned to be a woman who trusts men more than you trust yourself. And that is seen as weak. It is weak. And you are conditioned to keep making excuses for men, which is foolish. So you are conditioned to be a stupid, weak fool. Yes. And if you don't want to be seen in that way, you have work to do. And it's not impossible. And this is not me insulting you. This is me just describing how men see you.
What if in 2024, you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real life situations. Plus, they're delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. And this is why Babbel works for me. As a pole dancing girly, as you might know, I enjoy going to Berlin to pole jam with my friends. And over there, German is a language that's spoken. And even though I studied German in secondary school, I've forgotten quite a bit of it, which I'm embarrassed to admit. However, when I use Babbel out there, it's super convenient for me because I can learn real life conversation skills. And it's easy for me to just pick up on the words I need to order food, ask for directions, speak to salespeople, without having to scroll on language apps or feel that embarrassment of freezing mid-moment when you forget a particular word. Something I particularly find really useful about Babbel is their speech recognition technology, which helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So in the spirit of us glowing up our language skills this year, here's my gift to you. I present to you a special limited time deal. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. Only if you're listening to the Slumflower Hour, though. So you can access that at babbel.com/slumflower. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/slumflower. That's spelled babbel.com/slumflower. Rules and restrictions may apply. So maybe 2024 is your year of being a multilingual baddie. Well, Babbel's your friend for that, because Babbel is helping millions of people like yourself quickly and confidently have real-world conversations in a whole new language. I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for brushing up on my skills, feeling confident, and trying out new things. I've actually got a fun fact to share about Babbel. Did you know that Babbel's personalised learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualisations help keep you focused and motivated? That's why 15 hours with Babbel is equal to one university semester. Just think about that. All it takes is just 10 minutes a day for you to learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture. All accessible on Babbel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I promise you, when men think you're stupid, they take advantage. When men think you're weak, they take advantage. When men think you're a fool, they take advantage. And also, they're laughing at you in their group chat, by the way. Just so you know. So, when you are... Because I'm seeing this trend online. Is it a trend? I guess it's like a... For lack of a better word, I'm seeing this trend online, especially on TikTok, where women are talking about, he broke no contact. Or... I see women discussing that they feel tempted to break no contact. And I'm just here like, you're tempted to break no contact with somebody who you intentionally went no contact with. That's the part where we're going to use the word weak to describe that behavior. It is weak to break no contact with a man based on the idea that, oh, I just really like him, and I just really miss him. That's weak, girl, because it does take strength to resist your urges, because your urges are based on a need for validation. Again, once you can identify things for what they are, once you can call it what it is, that's how you can begin to empower yourself. So we're going to have to be big girls here and identify weakness where it's weakness. We have to identify boo-boo the fool where it's boo-boo the fool. We have to identify being stupid when we're seeing stupidity, because what I would consider stupidity is knowing better and choosing not to do better, because you're hoping that the man will decide for you. It's just like waiting for a man to tell you that it's time for you to leave him. Do you think a man's going to do that? Or do you think he's going to get as much free sex out of you as possible until you come to your own senses by yourself? Most women don't even come to their senses. They'd be like, well, he's still sexually attracted to me and he can't get enough of me. Men can't get enough of wanking inside socks. I just want you to know, it's not a compliment if a man who disrespects you can't get enough of you sexually. He can't get enough of you because you're free pussy. He gets to use you as a channel to wank inside of, to imagine the women that he actually wants to sleep with. Did you know that? So you're here thinking you're irresistible. Whole time you're just his backup. Again, I always go back to this. I've not been the same since I heard a man say that how men view women is similar to how they view cars. So you see how a lot of men really want a Ferrari because it makes them look good and it's the thing that most men want. You can liken a Ferrari to like a dreamy type of woman, like a really high fantasy woman. Now, just because a man can't afford a Ferrari doesn't mean he's not going to drive, is he? He's still going to drive a car. He needs to get from A to B, right? So what's he going to do? He's going to buy the car he can afford, whether it's a secondhand car or a very cheap car. So what does the secondhand or cheap car look like if we translate that to the opposite of the fantasy woman? It's the woman who's just available, who he can just have for now, while he works towards being able to afford the dream car, i.e. while he works towards being able to afford being useful to his dream woman. So you're okay with being a used 2005 Nissan. And used is not me referencing your sexual history, by the way. I'm just saying used as in, you know, what can you describe as the lowest value car? What can you describe as something that someone will use to just patch and manage? are used in Nissan from 2005 in manual drive? Are you a used Nissan? Or are you a Ferrari? Because again, this is not about objectifying you and comparing you solely to a car. What I'm trying to say in this analogy is it's about access and desire and pedestals. I think that men do put women on pedestals, and men have certain women who they don't need to put on a pedestal because those women put the men on pedestals. So if you are the used Nissan 2005 that's already got a high mileage, again, mileage, nothing to do with your sexual history. This is just me talking about a man seeing you as something he can just use to get by. You cannot get carried away with the compliment of, yeah, but he's still having sex with me there because he can't resist me. No, it's not that he can't resist you. It's that he hasn't got access to the options he wants right now because he's a bum and nobody wants him. So when you're making excuses for men and trying to convince yourself that the man can't resist you because you're irresistible, I just want you to maybe interrogate how that language keeps you imprisoned. Because for me, it's not a compliment if the man who keeps coming to me for sex is doing so because it's convenient. Because, you know, when you think about scenarios where you need to make excuses for men, it's usually where you feel confusion. So, for example, if that guy is being really unclear about how he feels towards you, you make up narratives in your head to replace the gaps. So if he's not committing to you, you're going to tell yourself it's because he's scared of commitment. It's like, scared of commitment? But he's got a card collection of all the Pokemon cards since he was 15. That's commitment. Scared of commitment? He plays Football Manager every weekend on his PS5. That's commitment. Scared of commitment? He's been subscribed to his favourite OnlyFans creators for the past 2 years. I don't think he's scared of commitment, babe. He just don't like you. Sorry that I had to tell you in this way. So confusion is clearer than you think. When you feel confused by a man's behaviour, that's normally your sign that this isn't working. This is how I avoid myself being in scenarios of men that don't need to last that long. Because the reality is, yeah, sometimes you'll make excuses. Yeah, you make excuses by telling yourself what you want to hear and what you want to believe about the situation so that you can prolong staying there. And then when you finally leave because he's given you the embarrassment of all embarrassments, or because he's made you feel unwanted so much so that you have to see yourself out, I promise you, one of the first few thoughts you have is, oh, I should have just left earlier. This is so embarrassing. So for me, residual embarrassment from the past has still kept me going in the future in regards to making wiser decisions for myself. I remember how it felt with the last guy, and I don't want to recreate that rubbish. So once something starts to feel off, I'm like, you know what? Just switch it off. It's okay. It was never that serious. It's okay. Yeah? You understand? I'm not in the business of holding on to men for longer than I need to just because I really want to. And the similar thing applies to the women who talk way too much. You lot be talking way too much. Sometimes just shut the fuck up, innit? Like, guys don't need to know your accurate personal life story. Sometimes learn how to leave the date even if you're having a good time. And as contrived or controversial as I should say, as that sounds, what I'm getting at with learning to shut the fuck up and leave the date even if you're having a good time is because I think sometimes as women, we just get carried away too soon. And the excuse we make is, oh, that's just how I am. I'm just a really jolly person. You know, I'm really relaxed. You know, if I really like someone, it just shows. The one I hate is, I just wear my heart on my sleeve. What What do you mean by you just wear your heart on your sleeve? Why are you that available? Why are you so desperate? Why is your heart on your sleeve and not in your chest? Because the heart has left your chest, is now on your sleeve. Soon it will be dangling in your palm and you'll be waving it around. Anybody want to love me? Look, free heart. Heart. Please take my heart. Someone please love me. That's how that reads. Just so you know. I don't like that I wear my heart on my sleeve thing. Because again, men see that as you're just really accessible. So those same girls who be using that excuse are the ones who don't know how to leave a date. And why I'm placing emphasis on knowing how to leave a date, even if you're enjoying it, is because it's about giving him more to look forward to. If you give a man too much too soon, he's not going to appreciate it. I'm really sorry. I know you want to believe otherwise. I know you want to think your guy's different, but that's just basic human psychology. It applies to everyone, really. So how can you implement this? Well, I've always been the kind of person where I think, especially for like the first few dates, specifically the first date, no matter how well things are going, 2 hours is enough. If you cannot find a reason to leave, you've got to make one up. You got to be like, oh, would you look at that? Oh, I've had so much fun with you today. Unfortunately, I've got to head off. Yeah, I've got other commitments this evening, but it was really nice spending time with you. I've enjoyed myself and I hope you did too. And you leave. Even if your plans is to go home, go home. Let him crave more. And you don't make any direct allusions to you seeing him again. So what I mean by that is like, you don't need to be like, oh, I had a good time. I can't wait to see you again. No. Let it be vague. Let him wonder if you want to see him again. Because even though you said you had a good time, he needs to get that answer out of you. He needs to make sure you want to see him again. Okay? That's the opposite of wearing your heart on your sleeve. Wearing your heart on your sleeve, as the girls say, is them sitting on that date, opening their teeth, giggling for 5 hours like you don't have a home to be at. Like you're not a woman who is sought after. Even if the thing that's seeking you is your dog and your cat, go home to your cat and your dog, okay? You need to create the impression that you have a life. Because once you plant that seed from the beginning, that man is going to see you different to everyone else. Because he's going to see that, okay, this woman is not someone I can just play with willy-nilly. This is not a woman who I can just fling last-minute plans at. She's fun, she's bubbly, she's exciting and enticing. But I can't just have her because I want to have her. I need to make plans ahead of time. I need to make sure that when I do get time with her, I spend that whole time enticing her and exciting her about the potential of being with me. That's how you get guys to see you as different from the rest. Not you being like, oh, I just wear my heart on my sleeve. Because again, all guys see is that you're accessible and you're desperate. I'm really sorry that I have to be the one to say it, but that's how guys see you. I'm really sorry. That's how they see you. They just think that you're easy. And men like it when you're easy. There's no man who's going to be like, oh, I don't like her. She's just easy to sleep with. She gives me loads of compliments. She strokes my ego. Oh, I hate that. Really, really, really hate that. I am not going to sleep with her even though she really wants to sleep with me. Do you think a guy is going to complain at you being easily accessible? No, he's not. And the last excuse that I really detest, oh, he's just emotionally immature. No, girl, he just doesn't like you. I think we just need to leave the he's emotionally immature line behind now, okay? Because when you are swearing up and down that a man is emotionally immature, all you're doing is just creating justifications for him to stay the way that he is. Because if a man knows that you believe he's immature, he can really play into that and have fun with it. He can be like, well, since she believes I'm immature, I'm about to get real juvenile up in here. Like, he's just going to deliberately play into the false incompetence, because now that he knows that you believe he's immature, if someone is immature, that means they have less potential and capacity to change. So he's going to also embody that excuse and not rise to the level he should be at. So if you're expecting accountability from him, he's going to play into an immature role because you've already decided he's immature. Whereas if you identify behavior in him that you perceive as immature, you just cut him off. Girlies, we just get back to cutting men off, okay? All this explaining to him, because this is another excuse that I fucking hate. Oh, I'm just the kind of person who likes to do conflict resolution. You know, I like to talk about it. I believe in communication. Okay, but like if the guy's not comprehending what you're saying, your communication's going to waste. Okay? Michelle Obama, you got to do all your little fun speeches to him. He's not listening. Talking about something. Yeah, I believe in communication. Go and communicate with God about why you are so deluded into believing that if you make excuses for men, they're going to change by themselves. Go and communicate with your therapist in order to find out why you are so bound to men who you feel like you need to change. That's where your communication should be going. Okay. Go and communicate with men who want to send you money. Talking about some, we need to communicate. No, you don't need to communicate with that guy who is not listening to you. He does not like you. If you need to communicate to a man to tell him what he did wrong, he don't like you. You never have to tell a man what he's doing wrong. You know that men know when they're not talking to you. Men know when they are dropping the ball. Men know when they are taking their foot off the gas. There's usually a reason why they're doing that. It could be they're talking to another girl. Most times it is. Other times it could be they want to test to see how much you like them. So when they take their foot off the gas, i.e. they start to pull away, detach, disappear, maybe even ghost, they are anticipating that you're going to message them. You're going to break the silence and be like, hey, where did you go? Hey, I don't like that you disappeared. Hey, why did you not reply to my text? They see that as you being invested emotionally. That's all they need. That's more than enough for them. So I just want to remind you to be mindful of that. So when you're making all these excuses talking about, oh, that's just how I am, complete the sentence. That's just how I am conditioned. Because once you can identify that it's how you're conditioned, you can change your conditioning. Conditioning is not a life sentence. Do you know that? You know you can wash conditioner out. When you condition your hair doesn't carry the product forever. The product eventually washes out, okay? So same thing applies to societal conditioning. Yes, it takes longer to unwire all the tangled wires that have been tied around you, but you can start somewhere. And I believe where you can start is changing the language you use to describe behaviors that you refuse to break out of, changing the language you use to identify patterns that you recreate in yourself and patterns that other people recreate around you. So no more, that's just how I am, unless you're strategically using that to paint a picture of yourself to get men to give you money. Like I said earlier in this podcast, oh, I'm just so used to being spoiled. That's just how I am. Okay? You can't be using that's just how I am to be like, oh, but I don't know. I'm just so used to like giving people chances. I'm just a really nice person. That's just how I am. No, because that just means pushover. Okay? When you see men being horrible to you or being negligent, you don't need to be like, oh, that's just how he is. His dad left when he was 5. No. You need to be like, that's a negligent man. I don't need to be with a negligent man. Let him be someone else's problem. There, that's how you avoid yourself repeating patterns. Because these excuses you're making, talking about some, oh, I just love to overshare. I'm just so bubbly and zany. Girl, you tell men too much. You talk too much. You be telling men, oh, I'm celibate. I'm not going to have sex if you, I'm celibate. When you talk too much to men, especially when you tell men your next move, like telling them that you're celibate, guess what they're going to do? They're going to find a way to still have sex with you and you're going to look stupid because you went and told them that you're celibate. Now you got tempted and now you had sex with them. So now they know they can press you out of your boundaries. So next time, if you're on a celibacy journey, keep it to you and yourself. Don't tell men you're celibate. Just don't have sex with them. You don't need to announce to men that you're not going to sleep with them. Just don't sleep with them. Let them work their way in or out. Let them figure out how they can get closer to you. Let them work out how to earn your grace. That's it. That's it. So you lot that talk too much, you're shooting yourself in the foot. you lot that make too many excuses for men, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So let's try and keep these excuses in the bin. Yeah? Because that shit ain't serving you. Anyway, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed recording it. I wasn't expecting to laugh so much. If you want to have even more of a laugh, I would love to invite you to join my Patreon at patreon.com/theslumflower. Mm-hmm. I have a one-tiered system called the Disobedient Defiance, which is only £10 a month or $10 a month or 10 whatever a month, wherever you are, it equals to £10. And you can access exclusive bonus episodes. Yeah, you can access a 65-page guide on whether you should keep or leave that guy. And that is called the Dilemma Manual. You also get to enjoy twice a month mini episodes. I share voice note snippets. I've introduced this new voice note snippet thing, which I'm really loving, where it's like super off-cuff, like mini episodes that are in response to stuff that you guys are saying in the group chat. Sometimes I don't want to wait till I have access to the studio. I want to just say it immediately. So I'm loving that too. And also, you can access a workshop series where I also have PDF assets for you to access to support your growth and journey in making yourself the center of your world. So that is patreon.com/theslumflower if you want to enjoy that. And like I said in this episode, please let go of the excuses. It's not serving you. And the only way to grow is to identify the patterns that you've been lugging around and decide which ones to let go of. The end.